shout. They got nothing to preach.
Shout.
I thought they were going to.
Shout now.
Amen. And but we, the Lord has never failed us.
Yeah.
Always given us a word.
Yes.
Amen. So I do have a word.
All right, Lord.
Amen. Do you want to be sensitive to the Lord this morning? Amen. So glad everyone braved the cold and came out.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
And Brother Skinner laughs. He said, "This ain't cold."
No.
And it really isn't. It's just nice and cool. Gives us a break. Back in Oklahoma where we pastored, it's in the single digits and sub zeros.
Go ahead.
With snow. Thank God I'm in Florida.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And thank God for this church. It's been almost a year now since we walked through those doors and for the first time. And y'all treated us so nice and then adopted us into your family. And we've been here ever since. And so we just appreciate the Lord and all His goodness.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Psalms chapter 119. Now, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. That is the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalms 119. I'm going to pull one verse of Scripture out of that lengthy chapter. Psalms 119. There are 176 verses in that chapter.
Yeah.
But we're just going to pull out verse number 62. Psalms 119, verse 62. The psalmist writes, "And at midnight I will arise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments."
Yes.
Again, at midnight I will arise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments.
Yeah.
And the Lord will help us just for a few moments.
Yes, sir. Help us, Lord.
I want to preach on the power of a midnight praise. The power of the midnight praise. Let's pray together, Lord.
Thank you. Touch us, Lord, in this place. We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you in this place.
Thank you for the life cold from
our
God. God, let your spirit resonate within this house, Lord. God, I'm so thankful for everything we've already done. God, I'm so thankful for those who have already stepped out of obedience and worship you. God, receive the blessing. But Lord, tonight, this morning, this service is not over, God. We still got some time. We still, amen, got some needs in the house. And I pray, Lord, God, that you would move and come by and touch, Lord. And God, whatever is done in this house, you can praise, Lord. But Lord, it's in your great and holy righteous name we pray. And the church said, amen. All right. You can be seated this morning.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
For most people, midnight is a scary time.
Yes.
Hollywood has instilled this fear to many by making films of werewolves and vampires and other creatures that only seem to come out at night and come out at midnight. You see, time is measured by two different measurements. One is Chronos and one is Kairos. Chronos is probably the one we're most accustomed to. It's the study and science of time measurements is called hourology. Time is measured with instruments such as a clock or a calendar. These instruments can be anything that exhibits two basic components. One, a regular, constant, or repetitive action to mark off equal increments of time. And two, a means of keeping track of the increments of time and of displaying the results. Your watch, your phone, the clock on the wall. I was preaching in Perry, Texas, some time ago. It was in October, probably 2 years ago now. And they had a clock back there in the back that would flash the date, and then it would flash the time. And I was preaching on a Wednesday night, I believe it was, maybe a Sunday night. And I took the pulpit probably about 7:30. And I looked up when I was preaching. I'd been preaching just a little while. And it flashed 10:26. And I like to have a heart attack. I said, "Good Lord, I've been preaching for 2 hours, 3 hours." And it didn't feel like it. But then it flashed again. It was record time. And it was only 8 o'clock. What I saw was the date. And I thought that I had in time warp in the anointing and preached for 3 hours and didn't even know it. I thought I was going to be the Apostle Paul and preach till morning. Amen. But we have different instruments of measuring time.
Yes.
And so, for most people, midnight, as I said, is a scary time. Just as noon is the middle of the day, so is midnight the middle of the night.
Yes.
Webster Dictionary defines the word midnight as the middle of the night, specifically 12 o'clock at night. But it's the other definition that stuck out to me that I would like to expound upon. It's a deep or extended darkness or gloom.
Yes.
For most, the second definition seems to be the case. It's a deep and extended darkness or gloom. The psalmist proclaimed that he would arise at midnight and give thanks. Now, I don't believe the psalmist was writing about midnight as you and I know it. We know midnight as 12 a.m.
Yes.
And there are a lot of good things that happen at midnight. Right. John Wayne, the old cowboy, the Duke, he said this, "Tomorrow is the most important thing in life. It comes unto us at midnight very clean.
Yes.
It is perfect when it arrives and it puts itself in our hands and it hopes we've learned something from yesterday."
Yes.
Midnight is a pivotal time in life. Midnight is a time of transition. It's at midnight that today becomes yesterday and tomorrow becomes today.
Yes.
It's at midnight that the present becomes the past and the future becomes the present.
All right.
Yes. Even in military time tonight, midnight is denoted as 0-100 hours.
Yes.
It's a fresh beginning.
It's a start.
It's a new
yes.
day.
Oh, God.
And midnight denotes a fresh beginning.
Yes.
Lamentations 3:21-23. The writer, the prophet said, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not.
Yes.
They are new every morning. Great
is
thy faithfulness. The
Great
Lord is my portion,
yes.
saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him."
Yes.
Even in the midst of a midnight, we can have hope. Why? Because the new transition, the new day, the new dawning of another day has begun. You have another chance to get it right. You have another chance to live one more day. You have another chance, amen, to worship the Lord. The second way that time is measured is kairos.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's an ancient Greek word, and the meaning of that word is the right opportune moment, the supreme moment. This signifies a time lapse, a moment of intermediate time in which everything happens.
Yes.
The psalmist is saying, "At midnight I will arise and give thanks." I believe this is what the psalmist is talking about. He's not talking about looking at his moon dial, setting an alarm clock, and at midnight getting up and worshiping the Lord.
Right.
He's saying right in the middle of the situation that I'm in,
right
in the middle of what I'm going through, right in the middle of the heartache and the hardship, that is when I'm going to worship the Lord.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, you may not understand the darkness, you may not understand the midnight, but can I tell you, you can still worship God, even in the worst of situations. If you go back to the dictionary and you look, after going worse and worse, there's a word wedged in between there, and that word is worship. And
yeah.
then you're having a bad day, you don't want it to get worse. Won't you worship God on this
yeah.
day?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. I believe this is what the psalmist is saying. In this moment, I will worship the Lord.
Yeah.
In the midst of this darkness and lonely place,
all right.
I will worship.
All right.
You see, worship is what you give God no matter what hell is throwing at you.
Yes.
You worship not on how you feel, but you worship on how faithful God is.
Yes.
You can be
right.
sick and worship that He's a healer.
Yes.
You can be broke and worship that He is a provider.
Yes.
And you don't worship on your circumstance, you worship upon the Christ.
Right.
And
yes.
worship, it has a way of shifting your focus off of your problem and onto your problem solver.
Alright.
Amen. How many know that you can't worry and worship at the same time?
That's right.
Amen.
That's
turn your worry into worship and watch God turn your
yes.
battles into blessings.
Yes.
Turn your worry into worship and watch God turn your valleys to victories.
Yes.
Turn your worry into worship and watch God turn your test into a testimony.
Yeah.
Turn your worry into worship and watch God turn your storm into a safe haven. Amen. Whatever you're going through, worship in the midst of it all.
Yes.
Now, an apostolic preacher told this story, and you may have heard it. Amen. Brother Scott Brown preached a whole message on this particular story. But apostolic pastor told the story. He said he boarded a flight and he sat beside a guy who he had never met. And if you've ever flown, you know what happens next. In fact, if you sit beside somebody you don't know, usually you try to strike up a conversation, kind of help the flight go by a little quicker. This pastor looked and said, "Hi, my name is Scott Graham." And the other guy said his name, and they started, amen, with the question, "What kind of work do you do?" When the pastor told him that he was pastoring an apostolic Pentecostal church, the gentleman sitting next to him turned his face to the window and said, "It's been a long, long time." The pastor began to ask questions. "Was you one time part of an apostolic church?" The man said, "No, I never went to church as a kid growing up." "Did a family member go to an apostolic church?" The man said, "No, I don't have any family that goes to church." After this line of questioning, the pastor asked, "How do you know about the apostolic Pentecostal church?" The man told this story. He said, "I was a prisoner of war in North Vietnam. I was a pilot, and the aircraft that I was flying was shot down. And after surviving that, I was captured and placed in a place now known as the Hanoi Hilton." This man told his pastor, he said, "I went through many things while there, and some are too horrific for me to even tell. I went through things while I was there that still wake me up in a cold sweat."
Yeah.
He spoke of being locked into a small cage that was not even big enough to move in. So he spent his time bent over in a crawling position. He spoke of some of the torture that he went through, dislocated limbs and beatings and things of that sort. He said he was shocked with electric cords and fed little bowls of soup that were big enough to keep him alive, but never enough to satisfy the hunger. The only companion he had was the rats and the mice and the fleas that came through his cage. It was all in all a horrific deal that would not, and he said, "I would not wish that on my worst enemy." He went on to say that just down the hall from him, in his own little cage, was a guy who was a Pentecostal man. The pastor asked him his name, and the man said, "I don't know his name." "Where is he from?" He said, "I don't know that either." "Where did he serve?" "I don't know." "What branch of the military was he in?" "That I don't know." He said, "We tried not to know much about each other while we were there. We were in such pain and distress that we were afraid that if we knew too much about each other, we would let it slip. So we did not talk to each other." The pastor asked him, "What did he look like?" He said, "I don't know. I don't think I ever laid eyes on him. And if he walked up to me today, I wouldn't even know who he was." The pastor asked him, "If you know nothing about him and nothing about what he looks like, then how did you know anything about this man's religious background?" The man said there was something very different about this man.
Come on.
You see, every night when it got dark out, no matter how bad they'd beat him that day, no matter how alone he felt, no matter how much the enemy was telling him that he would never get out of there, no matter what he went through that day, when the sun had set and it got dark, you would hear this guy, he would start to sing. It did not matter how cold or hot it was, no matter the pain that he was in, he would sing. Every night when it got dark, he would hear this guy start to sing. The guy looked at the pastor and said, "I still remember the song that he used to sing. Oh, victory in Jesus,
yes,
my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood." He said, "I don't know nothing about that man, but every night when the sun went down, he began to sing and he had a song and it seemed to give hope to the rest of us who were locked in that prison."
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
The man with tears in his eyes running down his face looked at the pastor and said, "I do not know his name, but I can tell you what we call him. We called him Victory." And we said, "Victory, yes, just keep on singing." This man looked at that pastor and said, "I don't know what you preach. I don't know what you believe in. And I don't know what you stand for. But I will tell you what I do know. And that is Victory had a God. And Victory just kept on singing.
Come on, sing.
Beloved friend, let me be the first to arise and tell you this morning, it doesn't matter how dark it gets. It doesn't matter how much the devil fights. It doesn't matter how bad the storm gets. It doesn't matter how intense the war may be. Don't ever lose your song. Take the song out of your heart. Hey, why? Because song is a song of victory song. And then sing your song. Worship God in the midst of the trouble. And watch what God will do. 35:10 said, but none saith, where is God, my maker, who giveth songs in the night? Mm-hmm. Job knows what it is to be in a dark place.
Yes, he does.
Job knows what it feels like to be in the midnight experience of his life. Yet Job knows God gives songs in the night, and they were songs of victory. Now, you know, I had to take and go to Acts chapter 16.
Yes,
Lord. We find where Paul and Silas have come to Macedonia.
Right. Yes.
There's a Lydia who has heard the words of Paul and was then baptized, and she constrained Paul and Silas to stay with her in her house. And Paul and Silas went to prayer. A damsel with a spirit of divination, the Bible says, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She followed them for many days, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God,
yes,
which show unto us the way of salvation.
Yes.
True words were spoke, but Paul cast the spirit out of her,
yes,
and her masters were upset that they had lost their moneymaker.
Yes.
They bring both Paul and Silas before the magistrates, and they say, these men are teaching customs that we as Romans are not allowed to receive or observe.
Yeah.
Paul was preaching the Acts 2:38 salvation, and the Roman church didn't like it.
Yes, that's right.
Amen. The magistrates rent off their clothes and beat them. The Bible says they had laid many stripes on them. They cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. No doubt the jailer had heard about the story of the neighboring jailer who was killed when his prisoner, Peter, escaped. So, because the jailer had received such a charge, he cast them into the inner prison and made their feet fast with stocks.
Stocks, yes.
Acts 16:25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God.
Yes.
And the prisoners heard them. Much like this morning. I'm sure our neighbors got a good taste of good apostolic worship. They heard the songs of Zion as they were sung.
Oh,
I wish they would have been here to feel the Spirit of God that flowed from the microphone to the speakers into the hearts. I see Brother Paul looking at Brother Silas, and he says, you know what? I think I remember there being a song.
Yes.
In Psalm chapter 32.
Yes.
Psalm 32:7 said, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. And I see Brother Paul telling Brother Silas, I don't know about you, but I just feel like singing. I looked up the words in a song just a few minutes ago. It said, I've got to praise, and I've got to let it out. Hey, man, can I tell you, friend, when you really got to praise, when you really got to worship, it's going to come out. It's going to spill over. Hey, man, it's going to bubble up out of you. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will be as a spring of water. Hey, man, flowing out of you. Hey, man, when you really got the truth, you can get the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You will still be able to worship. You will still have a song. You will still be able to sing. You will get out of your Holy Ghost. God is with you. Paul said, Brother Silas,
Jesus.
Get your vocal cords warmed up. And they begin to sing. Now, this is Brother Hunt's theology.
Yes.
You can buy it, you can leave it, you can take it. You can do whatever you want to with it. But Isaiah 66:1 says, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is thy throne and the earth is thy footstool. I just believe that God got to enjoying the music so much, he started tapping his foot and it caused the earth to quake.
Yes, yes,
the Bible says immediately all the doors were open,
yes,
and everyone's bands were loosed.
Yes.
You know what's going to break the prison that our loved ones are in? That's having a song in the midnight hour.
Right.
You know what's going to take and break the bondage off of our loved ones? That's having a song in the midnight hour. And you know what's going to stop us from backsliding? and going out into the world. That's having a song in the midnight hour. Because everybody was loose. Everybody was free. But nobody left. And everybody stayed there because they said, we ain't never seen it like this. We ain't never had a Holy Ghost hold down like this in our life. And they stayed to see what was going on.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Amen. When they see you going through it and you stay faithful through it all, it lets them know that there's a real relationship between you and Jesus.
Yeah, that's
right. A preacher friend of mine from Sutton, West Virginia, wrote an article in a publication some time ago. And in that article, he pointed out that preachers' kids many times walk away from the church. And oftentimes, it's because of the way they seen their parents treated by church members. Just because you're a PK doesn't make you, amen, an angel. And we're not really worse than the other kids. We're just under a bigger microscope and a bigger magnified glass. And so all of our problems get magnified and all of our issues get broadcasted. And we're not bad. We're just you know, we're the talk. And so a lot of times, it's kids, preachers' kids, and things like that. They leave the church because of that. But he also wrote that many times when those same children come back to church and get their heart right with God, it's because they have seen their parents never give up in the midst of the fight. Can I tell you this morning, dads, moms, if you have a child that is backslidden from the church, don't stop singing. Don't stop shouting. Don't stop worshiping. No matter how bad it gets, no matter, amen, if they seem like they're going to prison, that may be the place that God gets a hold of them and wakes them up. Amen. What keeps people from leaving the church is praising at midnight, singing a song in the midst of trouble. We live in a dark hour in our world. And there are many who have let go of something in the name of progress. We must keep our song. We must keep our praise. The enemy can imitate, but he can never originate. Too many people are selling for a counterfeit. They have a tongue, but it's not the Spirit of God. Anybody can jabber, but it takes the true Spirit of God to produce the fruits of the Spirit in a person's life. I don't care how much you speak in tongues, if you still gossip, then you don't have the real Holy Ghost. I don't care how much you speak in tongues, if you're still telling lies, there's something wrong with your Holy Ghost. I don't care how much you speak in tongues, if you don't live right, you might want to check up on the Holy Ghost, because you may not have the real deal. You may be sitting around with a counterfeit, walking around going, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him.
Yes.
Come on.
Oh, Jesus.
There for a while in Oklahoma, this guy brought us some cinnamon candy. And I put it in my mouth. I said, whoo, cinnamon candy. And so, you know, that became my thing. When I got excited, I said, whoo, cinnamon candy. You know, people say, skin a machine right out of a Honda. I worked with some Baptist folks one time, and we put a ladder up on a building, and I tied it off. And he went up there to untie that, and he said, Tom, did you tie this tie? I said, whoo, stick it again, brother. Back over there. Man, that's what they teach you. I remember years ago, my sister, she went to Carpenter's Home Church, R.W. Shambaugh was there. You don't have problems. All you need is faith in God. R.W. Shambaugh was there, and my sister, boy, her and some of her friends, they went. And she didn't have the Holy Ghost at the time, and they had this line, if you want the Holy Ghost, come get in this line. She said, whoop, I want it. So she went and got that line and put her in this little room and played a tape recorder, and it was trying to teach them how to speak in tongues. She said, that's not how it's done. But she got up and left. But we have the whole church world today. How many of you ever been to church in here? Pray in your prayer language. I do not believe that you can tell somebody when to speak in tongues.
Oh, God.
Amen. The Bible said, as the Spirit gives utterance.
Right.
Amen. I've heard people, speak in tongues. No. You pray until you pray through, and the Spirit will give utterance into your life. But we live in a dark hour, and so many people let things go and pick things up in the form of progress. But we must keep our song, because the enemy, he knows how to imitate, but he can never originate.
Right.
Amen. He is not the giver. He is
a mocker and an imitator. When you read the story of the three Hebrew boys, you don't see where they ever saw the fourth man in the fire. They were up worshiping. Their bonds were loose. Their bands were loose. They wasn't feeling the heat. They were excited. They were worshiping God. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. The Bible don't say they did. But we do know the king saw the fourth man.
Yes.
So whatever you're going through right now in this midnight season, may just be so somebody else can see the fourth man in the midst of your fiery furnace. It may be that God is trying to show somebody else how real He is.
Right.
You may not know where He's at. You may not understand where He's doing. You may not be like, you may be going, well, God, why are you got in a fiery furnace? And God the whole time is walking around with you and saying, hey, look, the king's looking. And the king is fixing to turn his heart. And he's fixing to turn this whole kingdom around.
Right.
You never know what you're going through and what kind of impact and influence it's having on somebody else. Don't lose your song in the night. Victory has a song, and let it sing. Too many times, I feel like we're like the children of Israel in Psalms chapter 137. They had been taken captive by Babylon. They were sitting by the rivers of that country and weeping as they remembered Zion. The Bible says they hung their harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. The Babylonians came and they required a song of them. And they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How many knows the enemy would like nothing else than to silence our praise and to steal our song? We are but pilgrims and strangers in this land. This world is not my home. I got a better place to go. And this is an address, notification. I'm getting ready to leave. I'm getting ready to go. Amen. I was born here, but I'm not going to reside here. Amen. I lived here, but this is not where I'm going to spend my eternity. I've got my eyes set on a place called heaven. I've got my eyes looking forward. Amen. I've got my eyes a little higher than the things that are in this world. I will not hush my song. I will not hush my praise. Where moth and rust does corrupt.
All right.
But lay up your treasures in heaven.
In heaven, yeah.
Amen. That's where my treasures are.
Yes.
That's where my heart is.
Yes, sir.
Somebody asked a man one time, I guess he was jumping obstacles or whatever on his horse, and he said, how do you take and you overcome these obstacles and things? He said, I just take and throw my heart over, and then I go after my heart. Amen. This morning, my heart is set on heaven.
Yeah.
This morning, my heart is set on that shore. Oh, I look around and I see things, but I tell you, my heart is fixed. I know when I die where I'm going to go, where I'm going to spend eternity. I've got loved ones that are there. You've got loved ones that are there. Hey, man, they're in a place to rest. But when that day comes and that trumpet sounds, the Bible said the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and those which are alive and remain. But you've got to remain. You can't just be living. You've got to remain. Those who are alive and remain shall be called up with them that be with them forever in the Lord. Hey, man, that's my hope. That's my joy. Hey, man, that's why I keep going, because I've got loved ones. Hey, man, that I'm going to see again.
Yes, yes, yes.
Paul would say, we had hope only in this life. We would be of most men most miserable.
That's right.
But I'm glad that I have a hope that goes beyond this life.
Yeah.
I have a hope that goes beyond the grave. The grave is not my final resting.
Right.
Hey, man, you can come, you can see me, you can weep, you can put flowers, but I'm just going to get up one day and I'm going to go to home.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Now, we live in this world. And y'all know a couple years ago, man, the pandemic had everybody so scared.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. It was just pretty much ridiculous how scared everybody was.
Right.
And, you know, I never not one time closed the doors of the church. Yeah. We never one time did not have service. I had some people, man, that come against me on Facebook. We put a ad out or an advertisement, you know, inviting people to church, an invitation. And this lady, man, she She came over and she said, "Oh no, that church, they're passing out COVID." And I said, "Ma'am, our church, we only had like 10 people." I said, "Our church will sit 100, and we got 10. We can spread you out."
Yes.
We got hand sanitizer by every door. We got soap, hand sanitizer, and stuff in the bathroom. And if you don't want me to lay hands on you and pray, well, so be it.
Yes.
Well, she just had rent and roared. And then she stood up and told me she was a Christian.
Uh-oh.
And I said, "Ma'am, is COVID bigger than your God?"
Oh,
he's not bigger than mine.
That's right.
Oh, I know. I had some friends who died of COVID, supposedly. The complications of COVID. So I know it was a real deal. But I just kept trusting the Lord and believing.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. People were ate up with fear. But I just chose to have faith over fear.
All right. Yes.
Amen. Now is the time for the church not to be quiet. Now is the time for the church to arise and sing aloud. Brother Tim Lewis one time said, "A world in trouble needs a church in revival." And I'm not necessarily talking about a series of services. I'm talking about every time we walk in here,
yes,
we worship like we did this morning, the way we've been doing the last few services. Amen. I don't know if you noticed it, but this pastor began to break some things in our regular series. This pastor began to break some things in our lives. We're beginning to worship more. We're beginning, amen, to become more active in our worship. And that's what God wants. Amen. God wants to see you get crazy for Him.
Amen.
And I'm crazy for the Lord. The old black preacher said like this. He said, "Yes, I may be a nut, but I'm still on the right boat."
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen. April the 15th, 1912. The Titanic strikes an iceberg and it begins to sink. History and survivors of that fateful night recall that there were 8 men who were the musicians of the ship. As the boat began to sink, Mr. Wallace Hartley, who is said to be in charge, summoned the men to the deck of the ship. Mr. Wallace Hartley began to play his violin. Shortly, other men chimed in, and they began to play a hymn of the church, "Nearer, My God, to Thee."
Yes.
An eyewitness named Mary Stevenson recalled that amidst the crying and panic shouts that the music began to ring out, she recalled hearing people in her lifeboat, and some who were in the chilly waters began to sing. These men played until they plummeted to their death beneath the cold and chilly waters of the Atlantic Ocean. Even in the worst of times, we can still have a song.
Yes.
Could you imagine? You're on your way down. You know there's no room in the lifeboat for you. You're on your descent into the watery grave of the Atlantic Ocean. And yet you pick up your violin, and of all the songs you could have played, of all the songs you could have sung, "Nearer, My God, to Thee." They were on their descent. They were on their way to meet their Maker. And yet they had a song even in the midst of a horrific event. They had a song even in the midst of the ordeal.
Yes.
In 1971, the Coca-Cola Corporation introduced a jingle. It said, "I would like to buy the world a Coke." It said, "I'd like to build the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to buy the world a Coke and keep it company." And then it said, "Coke, the real deal." What the world wants today, they want the real thing.
Yeah.
All they necessarily don't want Coca-Cola. That thing will eat battery acid, no telling what it's doing to you. Amen. But it's time for the church to stand up and be the real deal.
That's right.
Amen. While I pass through this land, God, let there be a song upon my lips.
Yes.
Amen. While I go all the while with a song and a smile, fill my way every day with love. Amen. I want to be one of those that when people look at you, they say, why are you always smiling? Why are you always happy? Because I have a hope that goes beyond this world. I have a song that the devil did not give and the devil cannot take away. I have a song that God has given me. It's a song of amazing grace. It's a song of, oh, how happy I am to be lived and loved by the Lord.
Yes.
The prophet Micah prophesied that Israel would be taken captive some 150 years before they were ever taken into captivity. Micah then proclaims, rejoice not against me, O my enemy.
Yes.
For when I fall, I shall arise.
Right.
Micah said, we're going into captivity because of the wrong we have done. But don't you dare rejoice, O enemy, because I'm not going to stay down. God is going to restore me. I will sing again. My song will be heard again. We got to take, amen, and never lose our song.
Yes.
Back in the old days, before they come out with these carbon dioxide detectors, down in the mines, they used to use a canary. And they would put that canary in there, and that canary would sing a song. But when the canary stopped singing, they knew they had to go because the canary had overcome to the carbon monoxide that was in the cave.
Yes.
Don't lose your song. Don't let the devil feel like he's got the upper hand. Don't let the devil feel like he's taking you out. Hey, man, you know what confuses the devil when you worship, no matter what he's done? He said, I've done everything I know to do. I put everything in the packet box and it hasn't been. I do everything I've always tried and it hasn't done. And I like to have the devil so confused.
Yes.
I know we've talked about Job in the past. Job lost all his camels, lost his sheep, lost his oxes, lost most of his servants, lost all 10 of his children at the same time. And all the servants were coming to him and said, Job, I was here. Boom, this happened. And the Bible said, while he yet spake, came another servant. All in a matter of a day, everything's gone. And Job said, naked I came into the world, naked I shall eat, but blessed be the name of the Lord forever. Man, could you worship in a time like that? Could you sing a song in a time like that? Could you take and still proclaim from your lips that God is good even on my worst day?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The psalmist said it like this in Psalm 35, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is light. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning.
Yes.
Don't stay down. Amen. He said, when I fall. Amen. Failure is a possibility for every one of us.
Yes.
But don't lay there. Failure's not fighting with the Father. Don't let it be fatal. Get up. Dust yourself off. Go forward. Amen. And keep singing. Sing your song again, because God will take and move in the midst of your song. I will sing my song, because victory comes through singing. The children of Israel walked around Jericho 7 times. That 7th day they walked 7 times.
Yes.
And did not make a sound. But that last time around the walls, they lifted up their voice and they began to shout. Can I tell you, a daily walk means more than a loud shout.
Right. That's right.
Amen. They shouted and the walls fell. You read in Chronicles where, I forget exactly which guy it was, but he's getting ready to go to war. And he sent Judah first. He sent the worshipers. He sent those. Amen. He sent the choir first, because there's something about worship. There's something about singing. Why do we come to church and not have the preaching first? Why do we sing a few songs before the preacher gets up? Because there's something about the music and the singing and the worship that takes and makes our hearts receptive for what God is trying to talk to us about.
Yes, it does.
Amen. I know you're saved by preaching.
Yes.
God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them which believe.
Yes.
Amen. But I have been in church services. Well, I mean, just just a couple weeks ago when Joe, I think his name was, that came with you, was sitting there and they were singing. And I watched him. And then all of a sudden he goes, throw both hands straight up in the air. And I thought, whoo, get him, Jesus. I've been in church services where we'd be singing and I'd be sitting on the platform. A lot of times that's where I have to sit when I go places. And sitting on the platform, they're singing, and I watch people as they begin to feel the Spirit of God. Yes. And you'll see tears coming through people's eyes. You'll see them begin to worship. We were at a church in Boswell, Oklahoma, and they were singing, and this young girl was standing there, and she was just kind of getting into the music, and she really got to feeling it, and got to crying, and got to weeping. We went back there and prayed for her, and God filled her with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Amen. But then she had to hear some preaching and know how to live.
That's right.
Amen. God can move in the midst of a song. In 1939, and I'm winding down. In 1939, Bartlett had a stroke that left him partially paralyzed. After the stroke, he was left virtually bedridden. Although he missed traveling and performing, Bartlett continued to study his Bible during this difficult time. Although he dealt with the physical strains and his limitations, he also looked forward to the eternal victory he knew was approaching. During this difficult time after his stroke, he wrote the words to victory in Jesus.
All right.
A man in Vietnam going through some of the most horrific things that a person could think of would sing the song, "Oh, Victory in Jesus." A man who had a stroke, was practically bedridden, was on his deathbed, wrote the words, "Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is through him.
Yes.
He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood." We were in Diana, Texas, preaching a revival. Sister C, we called it the Old People Church. The youngest person in that church was 76, was 88. And he was the pastor. There was the elder who was the founding pastor still attended that church. Friday night of revival, we're singing "Victory in Jesus, My Savior Forever." And we look, and I cannot think of his name to save my life, but the elder turned about as white as our shirt and started slumping over. Sister Powell was on the piano. She just kept singing. And Brother Powell and myself, we walked down there and we started praying. And we kind of stood and set him up. We prayed for him. For just a few minutes, he stood up and he raised his hands in the air. And he got the feeling better. And after church, he told me, he said, "Why about tell my brother take me to the hospital?" He said, "Man, I thank God y'all prayed." Saturday night came around, we went to church. The elder wasn't there. And I thought, "Oh Lord, back to the elder." I asked the pastor, I said, "You heard from the elder?" He said, "No." And so Sunday rolled around, and he came to church Sunday. The guy was 97 years old. And I think on the upper side of 95, 96, 97, somewhere around there. But he came to church that Sunday, and he had to testify. He stood up when he testified and he said, "You know what?" He said, "I had to go to Dallas or something." He said, "And I got caught us in the traffic. It was late. It was dark when I got home." He said, "I hadn't drove in the dark in 30 years. He said, "I found out I can see in the dark." About that time, he took his left arm and shot it straight up in there. And he said, "You see that? I hadn't done that in 40 years. He said, "God healed me of things y'all didn't even pray about."
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
All while we were singing "Victory in Jesus."
All right, Jesus.
Amen. Yes. Can I tell you, there's still victory in the Lord. There's still victory in the song.
Right.
Romans 8:37a, "And all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." This morning, if you've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, we are not victims. We are victors.
We're
victors.
Yes.
Never lose your soul.
Right.
Don't let the devil steal your joy.
No.
Don't let the devil steal your song.
That's right.
Sing in the midst of heartache.
Sing
in the midst of trouble. There's been times I've had to sing with tears in my eyes. There's been times I've had to sing, amen, with a lump in my throat, but I never let my song die.
That's right.
Here for months, Sister Hunt and I, we sung, "All my life you have been faithful.
All my life
you have been good. You've always been there. You've always cared for me. You always provided. Oh, I've been through some dark times. I've been through some dark days. But I also know that God was always faithful through it all. And I can still rise and sing, all my life you have been faithful."
Oh, yes, he has.
Even as we stand all over the house this morning.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
There's been times I've had to croak through my singing. My voice wasn't clear. And my heart was heavy. Yes. I'm sure these other brothers know how it is. They pastored churches and had to do it alone. Didn't have no help. They had to sing even when they didn't feel like singing. They had to go to the pulpit and preach when they felt like they were just on auto-tune. You're doing it because you had nobody else to do it. Amen. I know you can't tell it by the preaching. Brother Skinner's been preaching like a man half his age. I'm like, my goodness. Elder's going to make me step my game up. Y'all missed it Wednesday night. He preached on AARP.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Always apostolic. Something Pentecostal. Yes. It was good. Got the web thing. It's probably on here. Amen. But I refuse to not sing my song. I know I didn't sing this morning before I preached. And y'all gonna have to forgive me. Amen. But I still have a song. Amen. I still, you know, it's important that you pray about what you sing.
Yes.
We were having church tonight. And we never sung the song before. He knows my name. We sing it here. We had a visitor that night. We began to sing that song. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make. And she had tears in her eyes. She came up to us after church. She said, "I know this is where God wants me to be." She said, "I've listened to that song all week long." And she said, "Y'all sung it." She was Baptist. She was Catholic. Her husband was Baptist. God was doing a great work in her life. We baptized her in Jesus' name. She came close to getting the Holy Ghost a couple times. And then she got mad because she wanted to sing. She said, "Hunt, I just ain't my news." She never told us until she left the church. She said, "Bless God, y'all would let me sing. I told you to." Special singing when I was a kid. And I kind of understand why they cut it out in some places. It used to be right before the preaching. Anybody got a special song? And somebody come up and sing a song that they may have been rehearsing all day, just singing it for the first time, cleaning the house, singing. Well, my grandma Hunt used to get up. She couldn't carry a tune in a bucket if you tied it to her. She would start singing and the power of God would fall because she wasn't singing to impress somebody.
Right.
She was just singing a song that she had lodged in her heart.
Yes.
There's a lot of times around the house, I get one song stuck in my head, and I'll sing it, and I'll sing it, and I'll sing it, and then I'll go and get on YouTube and look it up and listen to somebody else sing it. And I'll sing it some more. And that song will minister to you.
Right.
You may not, you say, "Brother Hunt, I can't sing. Lord, I've been singing shallow, afraid of water again." Don't let the devil steal your soul. The Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Of course, one professor at Bible school said if it ain't joyful, it's just noise. And God inhabits the praises of Israel and his people.
Yes, he does.
Amen. There's sometimes a song can touch you like nothing else can.
Amen.
You just start singing a song, you listen to the words of the song, and they minister to you. So this morning, if you're here and you say, you know what, brother, I've lost my song. You can get your song back. Amen. Now, I'm not going to say everybody just come up and start singing. We have a mass confusion up here. We have, you know, 20 songs going at one time. So I've lost me in eternity.